of God's healing service, I have an announcement which our superintendent minister has asked me to share this morning. It may come as a bit of a shock, so I would ask you to just accept the words that I'm going to say, and then we will go into a short prayer. The church council, which met on Wednesday night, made some bold but difficult decisions. Firstly, we agreed a resolution to maintain our commitment to our mission and ministry among youth and our community, and to provide quality facilities and a space prioritised to enable and resource this work to progress. We agreed that this commitment will underpin all that we do. It was with some regret and heaviness of heart then that the decision was made that we now work towards selling the bridge building. The building needs a very large sum of money spending on it in order to make it safe, and we would not be good stewards of God's resources to try and keep patching up and repairing it. The decision will come as a sadness and disappointment to many people. However, the mission and outreach work continued in the bridge building will not stop. We are committed to finding new and creative ways and a new venue for that work to continue. We have the opportunity now to develop and grow the work that we do amongst young people and the wider community outside these walls as we reach out with God's love, making sure that we commit our best resources to this mission. In addition, we agreed a resolution to financially supporting Paul and his family as they begin the search for a new home. The details of exactly how we will continue to maintain our outreach and mission within the bridge, without the bridge building, isn't clear, but will need to be developed over the next few months. Please continue to pray for the church council and the leadership team as they seek to find the right ways to move forward together as a congregation. So let us pray. Dearest Lord, firstly we want to thank you for the wonderful resource of the bridge building over these past years, for the many who have been shown God's love in Jesus through its location and facilities. We bless you for the property committee and others, both past and present, who have worked tirelessly to provide a safe environment for all within the property. Thank you for our children's and youth work team leader, Paul, and those who continue to support him in practical ways and through ardent prayer. For those ministries that have been held within the bridge compass. We know, dearest Lord, you're now leading us afresh, and we are confident the best is yet to come. So in Jesus' name we pray, asking too, Lord, that we now lift our eyes in worship to you. In the words of the chorus, let us turn our eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Amen. So we gather. And we gather to hear the words of Hildegard of Bingen. Now she lived between 1098 and 1179. And I am struck by how often the words of the old saints really speak in to our situation today. O Holy Spirit, breath of all creatures, purifier of all souls and healer of all wounds, be fire to our heart, light to our path, and friend for our journey. Amen. So we're welcoming each other in the all-powerful and healing name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a special welcome to any of you who are visiting at this time. Now, healing services evoke all sorts of feelings amongst God's people. Some are very eager to come forward for a blessing of God, but I want to add that the very fact that you're here means that God is ready to touch your heart. So you don't need to come forward necessarily if that doesn't feel appropriate. So those people are keen and they're waiting for the moment. Then others are perhaps remembering healing from the past and just wondering whether that could just possibly be for them today. And then there's others that are pretty wary and then just not very open to the fact that perhaps this might be their day for an extra blessing. So let us pray. Loving God, we magnify your holy name. We are in awe of your grace and truth. Your loving kindness to us wherever we stand regarding prayer for healing. Please help us to open up to your Holy Spirit, always the same, whatever age and circumstances we live in. And may we celebrate and honour that your word tells us Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. O Holy Spirit, breath of all creatures, purifier of all souls and healer of all wounds, be fire to our heart, light to our path, and friend for our journey. Amen. And all God's people said, Hallelujah. Yes. So however you're feeling today, just be relaxed, because God's the important one and we just want to do it his way. Those of us who are on the healing team are just here to facilitate that, if that's appropriate. So the title of our service today is I Don't Believe It, and I will explain later how that came about. Now the first two words of our opening hymn declare God is here, which we've already declared, have we not? And the last two words are we believe. So we're looking at Singing of Faith, that's a red book, God is here, number 25, as we his people meet to offer praise and prayer. May we find in fuller message what is in Christ we share. So let's sing together the praises to Jesus. We who cannot live without you, we adore you, we believe. Tremendous words to take us into our opening prayer. And this is going to incorporate Psalm 145. Our prayers of adoration, thanksgiving, confession, and with that important desire to be more and more like Jesus in the coming days. But before we pray, I want to pick up a couple of the verses, 19 and 20, with the close of this psalm. This psalm, of course, celebrating the rule of God over the universe. So verses 19 and 20. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. And one writer says, fear and love are the inseparable elements of true religion. Fear preserves love from degenerating into presumptuous familiarity, and love presents fear from becoming a servile and cringing dread. So let us pray. Loving God, how we bless you for the Psalms that encompass the full range of human emotion, whilst rightly honouring you as our holy God, worthy of praise and worship in all your glory. This morning we seek to echo the words, the thoughts, the faith of David, the psalmist, as we draw closer to you, the wellspring of our souls. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. O loving God, you alone know if we have honoured you by meditating daily on your wonderful works. You alone know if we have spoken up for you in our day-to-day lives and within our relationships with family and friends and acquaintances. Please forgive our reticence. May we not gloss over any lack on our part. We so seek to be more like you, Jesus, in both word and deed. The psalmist continues, "They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness." O dearest Lord, may we not expect only others to be bold in their witness to your amazing saving love. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for showing us the way to live, for dying on the cross and taking our sins, for rising again and offering life to the full, both now and for all eternity. We are so grateful for your forgiveness, so freely given when our confession is sincere. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to his promises and loving towards all he has made. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. Oh, dearest Lord, with hugely thankful hearts, we anticipate such blessings during this act of worship, this healing service. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. We bless you, dearest Lord, for the wonders of your creation, the marvel of how it all fits together. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving towards all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. We join these prayers together in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Wesley. Well, what are you doing, Wesley?
He says he's had an invitation. One of the ministers.
What does it say?
Shall we read it together, Wes? Dear Wesley, we like to welcome everybody to come and hear more about Jesus. Service time has been altered to 10 o'clock. And here I am.
Well, so we can see. Perhaps you'd like to introduce yourself to these good people and tell them where you come from.
It says it comes from Lancashire. Okay. And he wants to tell you why his name is Wesley. He says, my name is Wesley because my birthday is the same date that John Wesley gave his heart to Jesus. And all those people said, hallelujah.
Have you given your heart to Jesus, Wesley?
Oh, yes. When he was in Lancashire, and he was at the schools with the children, and he gave his heart to Jesus then. So all God's people said, hallelujah.
Well, Reverend Gillian and I are going to have a conversation a bit later.
Yeah?
Would you like to stay? I'll go and get a chair for you.
Yes, he's coming.
So you have to sit there, watch, listen, and don't say a word.
He says he's all ears. There we are, Wes. Good lad. Okay, I'll give David your glasses, shall I? Because you've done your meeting now. That's it. Okay, good. Lovely. Especially during the summer holidays. One Monday in August, David and I travelled to friends in Northumberland. And during the day, I asked our friend, who's a Methodist deacon, what can I pray for you? So her reply was her huge workload. So no surprises there. However, she then went on to tell me that I had prayed several years ago over her about a troublesome acid reflux. And the Lord has healed her, and it had never returned. And all God's people said, hallelujah, yes. So those of us on the healing team are, like me, here to offer prayer ministry, as I said earlier. And we all believe in miracles and have seen these happening in our own lives and in others. So if you feel the prompt to come for prayer, right from this very moment, please do so. Don't hesitate. Perhaps it will be when we have the bread and the wine, where there will be anointing as well, which I hope very much you will feel is part of the time of receiving from Jesus. Or perhaps at the close of worship. Whatever, just know that God just longs to bless us. You can pour it all out, or you can keep absolutely silent. That's not any consequence to us, because Jesus knows. The main point is not to miss out. So unless there are safeguarding issues, everything will be confidential. And as a team, I can confidently say we have all been blessed and grateful for the ministry of others in this respect. So to allow the time to ponder this invitation, we're going to sing a quiet hymn. We're going to remain seated, at the close of which, in silence and still seated, the offering will be received. And hopefully not just our cash, but also open hearts, ready to receive God's healing touch. So we're going to sing seated, be still for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One is here. And when we come to the conclusion of the hymn, then the collection will be taken in silence at that time. So let's sing. Let us pray. Be still, for the power of the Lord is moving in this place. He comes to cleanse and heal, to minister his grace. No work too hard for him. in faith receive from him. Be still, for the power of the Lord is moving in this place. Loving God, please take these gifts of money and each open heart and help us to move your kingdom forward as we give and receive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Again in early August, I'm mulling over the title for this healing service. And I had one in mind, but God hadn't confirmed it. And then comedian Victor Meldrew's "I Don't Believe It" came to mind. And then 2 days later, I picked up the new Methodist prayer handbook and read the opening words of the Reverend Dr. Barbara Glasson, our president, and Professor Clive Marsh, vice president, which centre round their theme for 2019-20. And their theme is, "So What's the Story?" And I read the following. Sarah laughed, Mary burst into song, and Zachariah and Paul were lost for words. But many of us hear the good news and we just mutter, "I don't believe it." Title confirmed, and today the emphasis is on miracles. And one of my favourite miracle stories is found in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. But before Margaret reads this, I'd like to fill in a little bit of the story. Peter and John are conscious that it's nearly 3 o'clock, time for prayer. And as they reach the temple gates, they're interrupted by a man crippled from birth. I wonder how we feel about interruptions when they occur when we're on a very definite purpose. I remember one day when my husband, as a veterinary surgeon, had only just got back to the surgery, and I had about 1 minute to run down the road to the church to get there in time for the beginning of worship. So at full pelt, and then I realise that there's a lady who obviously wants to talk. So a decision to make at that very moment. Do I stop and talk to her, or do I rush on saying I'm late for church? God said, "Stop." And that was, of course, the right thing to do. So it's a challenge to us all, isn't it? That happened years ago, but I'm always reminded of it when I think of godly interruptions. Anyway, friends will have carried the man to the optimum place for the man to receive alms as worshippers enter for prayer. Now, Peter and John don't ignore the man. They stop and demand that the man look at them. I think perhaps he was used to holding out a hand and money being given to him and probably not even looking up into the eyes of those that have been given. He has to beg and he's unable to work. It's a very obvious story. But they, Peter and John, want to share their story of Jesus. So that man is looking for money, but they, in the name of Jesus, say, "Get up and walk." They give him a helping hand and he jumped to his feet and began to walk. Another hallelujah moment. Now the latter part of the chapter sees Peter with a large audience. The miracle has got their ear. He shares the need to repent, to own sin, and accept Jesus as risen Lord and Saviour personally, thereby walking into new life in him, which continues, as we know, throughout eternity. And that salvation message remains the same today and should be a story that we can all share, a story which hopefully is refreshed as the days, the weeks, the months, the years go on in our lives. So I want to encourage any of you who have not made that personal commitment to Jesus, to pick up steps to peace with God, maybe have a word with one of the healing team or whomever, and just know that there is such blessing in knowing Jesus as personal Lord and Saviour. There's quite a lot of literature over here, and I invite you to take any piece that you would like when you leave the service. So, After all that, Margaret, could you come forward, please, and read the lesson? Thank you very much.
Yes, so it's Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 10, and it begins on page 1094. Peter heals the crippled beggar. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. It's 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's foot and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to be begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Amen.
Miracles. Don't we just love them? Or do we? Maybe it's a case of, I don't believe it. Well, back in 1984, David and I are intermittent churchgoers in Appleby, till we are saved following a Mission England outreach, when we each make a personal commitment to Jesus as Saviour and Lord. Hallelujah. And that's miracle number one. We believe. Praise the Lord. David is at that time a rural vet, but he has a back problem, and it was really quite noticeable. His spine had developed a twist in it, a scoliosis, and it's getting to the stage of possibly needing surgery. However, when he accepted Jesus into his life, the Lord healed him. And believe it or not, he has never had back issues since. Miracle number two. We believe. Praise the Lord. Sometime later, David, whilst gardening, had his cornea scratched by a bush that flicked into his eye. We seek medical help, and local anaesthetic is given to numb the pain that, of course, is there, and he's told it will heal in time. We call our pastor, prayer is offered, and his eye is instantly healed. Miracle number three. We believe. Praise the Lord. Now, by this time, David is well into church life, and that was at the Sands Methodist Chapel in Appleby. And he helps regularly with a rowdy youth club that meets on a Friday evening. And I think one or two of you here might be able to identify with that. But we're going to pick up the story, and as I interview my husband. So David, could you take us back to that December Friday evening?
We were at youth club and playing a very rowdy game which involved a lot of running around. And one time when I was running, I just suddenly felt a very sharp pain in my right ankle, and I started limping straight away.
So what happened next?
Well, I managed to get home. I hobbled all the way home. But the next morning when I was up, my leg was black and blue at the bottom and very, very, very painful. Fortunately, I wear Wellington boots a lot of the time, and that gave me extra support. So I was actually able to continue driving, but still in a lot of pain.
Were you offered surgery after the diagnosis of a ruptured Achilles tendon from our GP?
Yes, I'd seen the GP and then seen an orthopaedic surgeon, and he'd suggested I had an operation to try and correct my ruptured Achilles tendon, but that would involve having 3 months off work with my leg in plaster. So being self-employed with a family of three children, it wasn't really a viable proposition. So I opted to carry on doing a certain amount of exercise to try and strengthen the muscles in my leg, and obviously ask for prayer from people within the church.
So the weeks passed, indeed the months passed, and we're coming to Holy Week. So was there any improvement?
No, there was no improvement, and I was just getting very fed up with the whole situation.
So what happened on Maundy Thursday at the ecumenical foot-washing service?
Well, we managed to get to the service, and as the service progressed, it got near to the time for foot-washing, and just then I was paged and had to leave to go and do a lambing. So I felt very, very fed up then.
So come Easter Day, can you tell us what happened on Easter Day?
On Easter morning, I was again quite busy lambing sheep, so was unable to get down to church on time. I was very late going down to church, and I came into the church and sat with other people. I couldn't sit with you because you were near the front. When I went forward for communion, we always kneel at the church there for communion, and as I knelt there to take the communion, there was suddenly an explosion in the back of my ankle, and I stood up, and I could walk perfectly normally.
So, you hobbled down to church and left walking normally without pain.
Yes.
Ah, miracle number four, we believe, praise the Lord. What was the reaction in church?
Well, a lot of disbelief, the sort of I don't believe it attitude was there.
Really? Though people had seen you hobble in?
Yes.
Right, well, thank you, David.
Come on, Wes, let's get you.
Hang on tight, Wes. So that is a true scenario of what happened. Needless to say, my response was somewhat different. And I was preaching at Kirby Stephen that evening, and I could barely climb the steps to the pulpit before I burst out about David's Easter Day miracle. And I hope that the wonders of God's healing mercies in and through the power of Jesus have really touched each of us this very day, and perhaps helped us in our unbelief. Now, we might all query why David should have a flurry of miracles when other of us have not, but that mystery will have to wait till heaven. Meantime, and all God's people said, Alleluia. Amen. So we're going to bookend our prayers of intercession with Singing the Faith 648. It's just a little song, God to Enfold You. So please keep your hymn books open during the prayer time. We're going to sing it through twice the first time, and at the close of the prayers, we will sing it through just the once. So God to Enfold You. Oh, loving God, the words we've just sung draw us closer to you, and hopefully the words we now pray will draw others closer to you, the light that brings hope, help, and wholeness. Internationally, Lord, we have not forgotten the Bahamas. We have seen such devastation there, and we know those folk will need all the help and the prayers that we can offer. We're deeply saddened too by the volatile situation in the Middle East. Today, Lord, is Peacemaking Sunday. We're praying so much for those who have charge, leadership in such places. And we're also praying about it in our own country, Lord. We're deeply saddened, deeply saddened. We long for integrity, compassion, teamwork, and your wisdom. with all this carry-on about Brexit. And we long too, Lord, for those aspects as we think about God in love unites us. There are many big issues that we have to face, individually, churches, communities, and the wider world. And we know that next weekend is National Prayer Weekend, 27th to 29th, and that's an important time when we can come and be here quietly and spend time praying for such. We know today there's Fourth Sunday at 4, a new venture. We pray a blessing on that. And we know on Wednesday there's a testimony evening. And we would ask, Lord, that you would bring those people who you want there to hear that testimony and to receive your joy. We thank you for next week's harvest service and all the preparations that were going on for that. And of course, for the Penrith Mission Community launch, which will take place a week today in the evening. Many things, Lord. And we so need your pace, promptings, priorities, patience, the balance of life. We have that responsibility as well as the vast privileges that you give us, Lord. So before we bring these prayers to a close, Lord, we want to bring that person or those people that we feel especially long to see living in the light, hope, help and wholeness of Jesus. And please remind us, Lord, that you are the God of miracles. So, Lord, we would ask that you would gather these prayers as we sing once more, God to enfold us, Christ to uphold you. I'm struck that it's pretty dark outside considering the time of year, but we have the light of Christ here with us today. And as we receive the bread and the wine, I hope too that you will seek the anointing with oil. This is all part of God's love to us and is such a natural thing to do and will surely bring great blessing to those that seek to do so. And one special word from God that I was given twice this week, so I know it's important. If you're struggling with the pain of bereavement, please come for anointing. We will be following the Iona Holy Communion, but before then, I want to start with a prayer by the Reverend Jill Walsh from the New Prayer Handbook. So let us pray. From yearning to contentment, from weariness to trust, from doubt to belief, from restlessness to peace, from guilt to freedom, from wanderer to pilgrim, loving God, may we be transformed by you. Amen. So I hope you have sight of a Holy Communion sheet. And we come to the peace. Not an easy peace, not an insignificant peace, not a half-hearted peace, but the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ is with us now. So let us share that peace with each other. Peace be with you, David. Peace be with you, Jean. Peace be with you. So we're going to sing a hymn, and it's Only by Grace Can We Enter, and it's 565. Please be seated. We come now to the Thanksgiving. Now let us hear the story of how this sacrament began. On the night on which Jesus was betrayed, he sat at supper with his disciples, and while they were eating, he took a piece of bread, said a blessing, broke it, and gave it to them with the words, "This is my body. It is broken for you. Do this to remember me." Later he took a cup of wine, saying, "This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Drink from it, all of you, to remember me." So now, following Jesus' example and command, we take this bread and this wine, the ordinary things of the world, which Christ will make special. Gratitude, praise, hearts lifted high, voices full and joyful, these you deserve. For when we were nothing, you made us something. When we had no name and no faith and no future, you called us your children. You did not abandon us. When we came back to you, your arms opened wide in welcome. And look, you prepare a table for us, offering not just bread, not just wine, but your very self, so that we may be filled, forgiven, healed, blessed, and made new again. You are worthy of all our pain and all our praise. So now in gratitude, we join our voices to those on earth and in heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. For us you were born. For us you healed, preached, taught, and showed the way to heaven. For us you were crucified. And for us, after death, you rose again. Lord Jesus Christ, present with us now, for all that you have done and all that you have promised, what have we to offer? Our hands are empty. Our hearts are sometimes full of wrong things. We are not fit to gather up the crumbs from under your table. But with you is mercy and the power to change us. So we do in this place what you did in an upstairs room. Send down your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine, that they may represent for us your body, healing, forgiving, and making us whole, and that we may become for you your body, loving and caring in the world. Amen. Among friends gathered round a table, Jesus took bread, broke it, and said, "This is my body. It is broken for you." So here is the Lord, represented in bread and wine. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. So come, you have much faith, and you have little. You have been here often, and you have not been for a long time. You have tried to follow, and you have failed. Come. Not because it is I who invites you. It is our Lord. It is his will that those who want him should meet him here. So I'm going to invite the healing team and others who are needed, as it were, forward first of all for the bread and the wine. And we will all be being anointed, myself included, with the oil. And I want to encourage you to, when you come up, to receive all of God's blessings through those three ministries. Thank you. Lord Jesus Christ, you have put your life into our hands, and now we put our lives into yours. Take us, renew and remake us. What we have been is past, what we shall be through you still awaits us. Lead us on. Amen. Some of the team will remain in church, others will go through for the coffee time, so please do avail yourself of anybody if you feel that need to seek one-to-one prayer. And we all need that ministry, as I said, at certain times. And miracles can take place, whether they're physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual. And be absolutely sure, as Jesus is here, that will be happening. So we close, and I would ask you, please, if you're not going to receive prayer, to go quietly out so that those that are may stay in a sense of well-being. Please now sing, Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of My Heart. 5:4:5. O Holy Spirit, breath of all creatures, purifier of all souls and healer of all wounds, be fire in our heart, light to our path, and friend for our journey. And now may the Lord bless us and keep us safe in His love, His understanding, and His care till we meet again. Amen. And all God's people said, Hallelujah.